actually not preaching, so that's probably news to some of you, but we kind of did that intentionally. One of the things that the elders and I have been talking about is we want to make sure that we are using people in this church in the areas that they're gifted, in the areas that they have talent, in the way that God has worked in their life. And so as we're going down that road, I'm actually going to be giving you guys some information in the next couple weeks for spiritual gifts test that you can take online, and it'll give us the input so we can just kind of see where God's gifted people, so we can kind of help you fill roles where you feel fulfilled instead of drained. Anybody ever served in the church where you just feel drained? Right? It's like, I don't like kids, but I'm working in the nursery, right? Or something like that. That happens a lot in the church. New people, oh, praise the Lord, stick them where we need somebody. And they're like, I don't want to do that, right? So part of that is going to be, you know, just for us to see when you're ready to serve, that we can put you in an area where you have gifting. So we're blessed to have, I guess it was back in like March or April, Neva and CW called, and, you know, they asked, hey, could we come to church there? And we're like, yeah, of course. And you might think, well, that's weird. None of you called and asked if you could come to church. and that's not a requirement. You don't have to get permission. But Neva's been a minister for several years. I don't even know how many. You got an idea? Lots of years, more than what she can count. And so they came here. She had had an injury, and they hadn't been to church. And they've assimilated right into the family. You guys, right? I mean, they're part of the family. And so Neva, as she was getting well, I was like, when you're well, we're going to have you preach. And she's like, okay, I'll be ready. And so we finally set it up. We finally decided we're getting her on the schedule. So she's preaching in the series. She's preaching a parable, just as I've been doing as a part of the series. So I guess kind of the why I'm sharing all that is I want you to hear that you're hearing a different voice, but you're going to hear from the same Spirit of God. Amen. Okay, and that's part of the goal here. The intention is, you know, maybe there's some of you that have a calling to preach. Maybe you haven't found that out yet. There'll be a day where you'll be up here. Amen. Nobody said amen. All right, that was a test, Trampas. I thought you were going to say amen, man. I was going to get you on the schedule for like March or something. But all right, so Neva's going to come and share the word today and minister, and we're excited to have her come up. She's been in Bible study and prayer meetings, I mean, since they started coming, and I've been around her a lot and heard her heart, and she knows the Word of God, all right? What you got to know is when we preach in this church, we preach the Word of God. Okay, it's not our ideas, it's not how we feel about something, it's not what we want to accomplish, but it's all based on the Word of God. It's all based on the truth of the Word, so I know that's what she's going to bring today. So if you guys would, welcome up Neva.
Okay. God bless you. I'm glad to be here. I feel like I've been so excited after Pastor asked me, because when you're used to preaching all the time, and then all of a sudden I had a terrible accident, and I was bedfast and in lots of pain, and the Lord has restored me. And all things, this isn't on my notes, but all things, I believe it with everything in my heart. On Romans 8:28, all things work for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we have no idea, the song that we, even though we don't see him working, we don't feel him working, he's working. He works in our lives every day. Every day he's working. And most of the time we don't see it. And there's things going on in the world today that you can look, but because we've gotten so accustomed to seeing the news on the television, and you see all the news, and it's just like you just kind of get hardened to it. You're seeing it, but you don't see it. I've got a big picture right in my hallway, and it said, it has a it's the words of the Lord that came through a word. And I had a dream, where's that picture at? And I thought, I don't know where that picture's at. It's hung the same place ever since I moved into the house. It's been there at least 10 years. And the dream came again. Where is that picture? And I thought, I don't know. You know, the next day I got up and went out, and I thought, I wonder where that picture's at. Well, what happened to that picture? Because it's right there in front of my eyes, but I couldn't see it. And that's the way we are a lot of things with the things of God. Where it's right there in front of our eyes, but we can't see it. We've got to open up our eyes. I brought this here, not to beat you with, but we are to stir things up, people. And we've got to stir ourselves up so that we can see, we can hear, and we can understand the things of God. So I'm going to use this, I think, throughout the service. And I'm going to ask you to stir yourself up and to stir up the ones next to you, because we want to be alive. We want to be a living organism, a living church that other people know that this is the church of the living God. Jesus Christ rules here. Holy Spirit is free to live in this place, to operate in this place. And it's through you and me. What are we without Him? We are nothing without Him. But it's only through Him that we have the power of God. And yet there's people in this church probably that's not saved. There's some of you that are saved and you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like, why do I want that? Well, maybe you're going to have your eyes open today. Hopefully. Let me stir you. Okay? Just stir you a little bit. And if you're any of you, if there's anybody in here who's never seen a shofar before, do you know what a shofar is? This is a shofar. I was going to. The Bible says that the last trump, we're going to be raised. Well, it's not this trump. The trump of God's going to be a lot louder than this one. But Lord willing, I'll blow this later. Because it shows the presence of God coming into place. People sometimes get healed just from the sounding of the shofar. If you look at it in the Word, it starts with back with Abraham. And remember that he went up to the mountain to sacrifice his son. And God provided a ram. And that's where the first shofar, that's where it began. So we've got a history, people. We've got a history of God's things in our lives. And we've got to be open to it. So I'm going to pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord God, have your way in our lives today. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and I rebuke you. I break every assignment you've got set against this church, and revival we will have. Hearts are going to be opened in Jesus' name. Ears are going to be opened in Jesus' name. And eyes, the blinders are going to be gone from their eyes today in Jesus' name. And hearts are going to be open and submitted to the Most High God. Holy Spirit, move. Angels, do a work in this place today. I apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone in here in Jesus' name. You might come in here lost and hurting, but I say in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit and the angels of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do a work in your heart today. All you have to do is be open to it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Say, I will be open to the Holy Spirit and to the Jesus and to the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I give honor to the pastor for allowing me to come preach. I'm so excited. I can't understand it. I feel like, have you ever seen, had a hot bottle of soda and you picked it up, you didn't know it was hot, and then you pop it and it goes all over you? Well, that's kind of the way I feel. So whether I'm going to be in nice orderly or not, I don't know. I might end up being running around the church. I've thought about it a few times, but I've never done it. Not in here. I have hopped. I have jumped. I have skipped in a church. I broke my ankle. I broke an ankle one time. I had with repairing a pair of shoes that was too loose for me. And the Lord told me to skip around the church. So I go, here I go skipping around the church. And the shoe turned underneath my foot. And here I was coming down on it, and I broke my foot. Went into the hospital, and they said, well, how did you do this? And I told them, and they said, well, I don't guess you'll skip anymore, will you? in church. I said, oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will. Because whatever the Lord wants you to do, that's what you do. It might look foolish to people. But if it's God, he's going to use it somehow or another. I didn't know I'd ever tell you that in church. But hey, you want to see me skip? I can skip. Whatever God wants, that's what we want to do. Because even though you feel, oh, I can't do that. I remember when the Lord started telling me, get my hands up. And it felt like there was 10 pounds of sugar holding my hands down. I mean, it was a big battle. Getting my hands up and keeping them up there. Hey, it's easy now. The enemy always wants to stop you wherever you are. And you've got to determine he's not going to have victory over me. I'm going all the way with God. How many of you want to go to Thanksgiving dinner and the only thing you want is the turkey? That's all I'm going to eat, just the turkey now. I don't want any of that pumpkin pie. I don't want any of them desserts. I don't want no salad. All I'm going to have is turkey. No, you want a little bit of everything. I mean, I'll just have a little bit, a little tablespoon of this, a little tablespoon of that, but I want it all. You might not be able to eat it all at one sitting, but hey, you want to taste a little bit of it all. Well, that's with God. I want everything that he has for me. I want it all. And when you honestly say, Lord, have your way, I give my whole self to you, you'll find your life has changed tremendously. You'll have joy like you never imagined it. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, your word, and you receive him, the word just comes alive to you. I quote words all the time. I quote scripture all the time. You can't always tell you where it's at. But it's in there because I've read it, and the Holy Spirit brings it out. It's not coming out of my head. It comes out of my spirit. And that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to have the freedom. Hey, he is a God of power, a God of might. Hey. There's no God like him. There's no God like my God. There's no God. Hey, there's no religion that can satisfy you. There's no tradition that can satisfy you. There's no dead religion. But there is a living Christ. And he can give his life and his love in you, through you, for you, to you. And he will do you. Hey. If you'll only submit. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And so much of the church, they go so far and then they just stop. They stop at John the Baptist. You see, I'm not looting. Look, watch my notes. But they stop at John the Baptist. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that ever lived, but the smallest saint in the kingdom of God was greater than him. Have you ever wondered why? I was raised in the Baptist church. I praise God for the Baptist church. I learned to be committed and consistent. I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, when they had church, I went to church. I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was 47 years old. But if you're 80 and you've not received it, today's the day. You understand it's never too late to enter into the fullness that God has for you. We need to get rid of our old preconceptions. I don't want to go back to John the Baptist. Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Is that hard? He said it. Does that act like, no, I said it soft. But what if he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit? I wasn't there when he said it. Maybe you were. He didn't ask you. It was not a request. It was a command. Do you understand that? He didn't let the disciples go out until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit after he left. After he left, they had to wait until they were empowered. Before, when they went out, they were going under his anointing. But after he was raised, he came back before he raised, and he said, you wait, you be endued. I should go back to my notes. I got all scripture, boom, 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 and here I'm just going out of the spirit. But maybe that's what God wants. Maybe that's where you want to receive it today. I don't know. go over in 1 Timothy 1, 6, and 7. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, nor of power, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what we're supposed to have. You're supposed to have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. There is so much Alzheimer's anymore, people don't know that all they have to do is apply the Word of God. Did you know the Word of God will work if you work the Word? But if you don't work the Word, it don't do a work in you. So how do you work the Word? You got to say it out of your mouth. I've been saying for years, I'm going to go all my days. I'm going to have a sound mind. You better start saying that. Where's it coming from? That's spiritual. They say it's physical. It's a spiritual battle that is against every one of us. God loves us and he wants us to walk in his power and his ability. But you know something? It's our choice. We either live by the word or we don't. You say, well, that sounds pretty harsh. Well, it is. But how many times... I don't expect you to raise your hand or anything. But how many times have you talked to the Lord this week? How many of you? You don't have to answer me. But I just want you to answer it to yourself. Have you picked up the word and read it? How many times? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, how many times did you pray in the Holy Ghost this week? You know, God is calling us to a place of intimacy. It's not nothing new. But he is really pulling on us now. And when the darkness of the world comes, that's when God's power is going to show shine. If you turned all the lights on, turned all the lights off, and you turned one light on, it would really show up in here. We are to be lights in this dark world. Satan is doing everything he can to zip our lips and shut us up. We have to be open and speak what God says. Did you know I heard this morning, that California says Christianity has no place in California. No place in California for Christianity. But you know, the nation follows California. That's what they used to say. Are we going to keep our mouths shut and let California have its way? It's not California. What's the spirit behind California? What's the spirit? It is Satan himself trying to shut us up and overtake us. But this is the time for our lights to shine, for our power, for the power of God. Because when the darkness comes, the brightness shines. Every time there has been a revival, it's been because it got so dark spiritually that all of a sudden people started praying. We have prayer here every Thursday night. I'm glad to see all of you there. If you can't come, don't take that as a down. But if you can come, you ought to come. Brother Mark's had prayer for years here. For years. And he's working now, so I've not been able to come. So CW and I have been here carrying it on. Pastor and Christy and Cheryl been here, been coming. And God's moving. We need you. And it'll cause you to grow. I remember years ago I started going to a denominational church. And they had us come in the front. I was saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, mind you. And you're supposed to pray out loud. I prayed into myself all the time. To Jesus, I prayed every day to Jesus. I prayed, you know, the Holy Spirit underneath my breath. But I was just lost having to pray out loud. I mean, I was terrified. I'm not afraid to pray out loud anymore. I praise God for that little Bible study. Ended up leading praise and worship. Ended up being a pastor. God wants to move in your life. And if you just stay where you're at, you're not going to grow. There's got to be, you've got to step forward. You've got to make an effort. For me to get here to the back of that church, I've got to walk. You've got to walk. Christianity is a daily walk. Daily walk with the Lord. Just a daily walk every day. Talking to Him, reading His Word. And it won't be long until that Word just starts coming out of you. Just popping out of you when somebody needs to be ministered to. God loves you. Oh, how He loves you. You don't have to change to be loved, but the love will change you if you'll just accept Him. On May the 24th, I'm reading Matthew 24, and I'm saying May. On May the 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. If you'll read Matthew 24, I want you to read that. It started the end, not the start of the end times, but it got things moving again. There hadn't been anything going on for years. You remember Israel was scattered all over the world. There'd never been a nation that was called back to be a nation after 2,000 years. I mean, when they just get scattered in with the people. But here, look, listen to this. May, it says in 24. Matthew 24, got it, I think. Matthew 24:32. Yeah, I'm on the wrong chapter, that's why. It says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I was 6 years old, so you can figure out how old I was, how old I am. I'm 77. I was 6 years old. I was sitting on the floor, and my daddy came in, and he said, Elsie, my mother's name, Elsie, Israel just became a nation. I have had a book, I threw it away, I wish I'd kept it, but I had a book, a little thin book that said why Israel would never be restored as a nation. It's restored as a nation. That put, the time started going for the end time. That put, things started moving. And then a few, I'm not going all through that, but I'm telling you, the things are happening in this world right now. It's because Jesus is coming soon. And I knew when I was a little girl, I still remember that. Don't you think that's amazing? I was 6 years old and that just went into me. I believe with all of my heart that I am going to be alive when that trumpet sounds. I'm going to see Jesus come back in the clouds. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. Believe it with everything in me. And you will too. Now the question is, will you go? Oh, I don't want to go yet. I got kids to raise. I want grandkids. I want. You better be getting your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon what He wants. He's not going to hold back. He is holding back for a reason. But when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, He's going to blow that horn and we're out of here. And that should be something you're so excited about. We should be looking far more to that than looking forward to our birthday or to Christmas or Thanksgiving. I mean, we look to that. We get all excited when you go to ball games. Woo, woo, they made touchdown. Well, this is going to be something that's going to be the touchdown of the of everything. Since the beginning of time, God has been coming forward to this. Ah, He's so excited. He's so excited. I'm excited about being up here. And He is, oh, He just can't really wait. Do you remember how excited you were when you was getting ready for your wedding? Mm-hmm. I had a wedding dress, my first wedding, my wedding dress. Carried my wedding dress all from one neighbor to the other to finding out somebody that had a steam iron. Could you not? Found one too. Excited. With CW and I, boy, we met each other on one day and 2 days later, we decided we was going to get married. I mean, I think it was we met on, and then on Tuesday, I told him on Tuesday night. So, yeah, 2 weeks later, he came up, gave me a ring. You get excited. I'd been praying for him for 16 years. I didn't know who he was or where he was or anything about him. Didn't know his name, didn't know anything. But I was praying for that man because God said I was going to get married again. I'm telling you, when you're looking forward to something, you get excited about it. You make preparations. The preparations we need is to get our hearts right with God today. Don't wait. Matthew, or Luke 12:40, over there. Luke 12:40, hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour you think not. You don't know, we don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. Do you know how awful it's going to be when the church is taken out? There will be no goodness left. There's going to be a third of the people killed immediately, and then a little bit later, another fourth is going to be killed. That's over half of people dying from sickness and disease. No morals, no loyalty, no goodness, no smiles, nothing good. And people think that they don't want to go. There is heaven and there's hell. There's two places. We are eternal beings. That means we're going to live forever. You're either going to live forever in heaven or you're going to live forever in hell. Let me tell you, I've heard people say, oh, I'm going to go to hell if they die. And they say, oh, I'm going to go, you know, someday I'm going to go and I have a party in hell. You don't have no party in hell. There's no party there. There's no light there. There's no happiness there. There's only misery. Misery and torment. I'm not going into how bad it is because you can't imagine how bad it is. And heaven is just the opposite. Full of glory and full of grace, there's a little song land. God's full of glory and he's full of grace and he's full of happiness and he's full of joy and he's full of peace. And there, oh, God, could be a higher. There is no, oh my, there'll never be any more sorrow, no more crying. All of your family that have accepted the Lord, they'll be there. It don't do you any good to go to hell to be with them if they've already gone and they weren't saved. I'm sorry, but it don't do you any good. You're not going to see them. Let's go to heaven, people. Let's make a decision to go to heaven. We want to be with Jesus. We want the Holy Spirit. We want all that he has for us. Not just a little bit of portion. When I was a little girl, I got sick. I didn't like to take medicine. My mom grabbed hold of my nose right like this and she squeezed until my mouth came open. She poked that medicine in there until I swallowed it. Well, God won't do that to us. He won't do it. He said, stir yourself up. Just stir yourself up. Come on. I've got so much good for you. I've got everything is good for you. Everything good. Nothing bad. Nothing bad. Isn't that something? What a promise that is. It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. It's not him that does the bad stuff to you. Let me tell you, people have gone, they go through all this bad stuff and they blame God. They blame him for tornadoes and they blame him for storms. Hey, no, no, no. He said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said back over in Genesis, he said that you have authority over the things on the earth. And he gave us authority. We can tell the storm. Oh, you can't do that. Yes, you can. But you got to do it. Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. Tornado, I bind you. You're not coming in here in Jesus' name. I tell that to that all the time. Go over, go around, dissipate, do what you want to do, but you can't come in here. Now, it'd be nice if we'd have the whole body of Christ to do that, and we wouldn't have near as many storms as we have. And when we need rain, we need to call it in. I could go farther with that, but I'm not, because I'm getting running out of time. Hallelujah. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. You see there's 10. And they're all going forth. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. We got some wise people in here. We got some foolish people in here. Might even have some lost people. You know where you're at. I don't. They that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. Now, they had light in their lamp. So they knew about the word. And I really think that they were saved. I think that represents saved people. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it represents saved people. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They took some extra oil. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. You notice they did call him Lord. They called him Lord. I believe they were saved. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven. Don't misunderstand me a bit. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven. But you just might not be a part of the bride. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Why must you be born again? You must be born again because if you're not born again, you can't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until you are. People think like they can just take parts of God and not all of him. Let's choose today to take him all. But he answered and said unto them, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That watch means stay alert. The church is complacent. That's what the Lord told me. I felt the complacency is in the church. I thought I knew what it meant, so and then I thought, you know, I better look it up. Complacent. Self-satisfied. Everything's okay. Go to church on Sunday. We have good fellowship. Nice church. Nice church. Yeah, it's a real nice church. You ought to come. And then they go home. They don't pick up their Bible. They don't pray. They don't talk to the Lord. They don't anything special in church. Well, maybe they go home, come. Maybe they don't. No, I'm judged not lest you be also judged. But you can just judge the fruits. Jesus said, judge fruits. I just want you to be stirred up. Come on. Come on. Get into the flow. Get where God wants you to be so you can have everything that he has for you. Everything. Everything. No more complacency. I don't care how close we get, there's always more. There's more to God because we can only hold so much. And he is a great big God. And the angels in the heaven, they say, holy, 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 because they keep seeing something different in him. Holy, 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 holy. And you know, we'll come back and we'll rule and reign on this earth. Did you know that? We're not going to just stay in heaven floating around in little clouds. I had a friend years and years ago. I was just a teenager. And she said, I just don't know if I want to go to heaven or not. She said, I don't just want to just float around on a little cloud and strumming a harp. She said, that just don't sound like fun to me. People, that's not what we're going to be doing. You're going to rule and reign on this earth. Yeah, we'll have 7 years in heaven, and we'll probably be going back and forth. You know? Back and forth, whatever he wants us to do, but it's going to be exciting. You think life's been good. Maybe you think life hasn't been good here on earth. I've had a good life. God's good to me. Put him first, and he puts me first. And it's exciting. You never know what's happening. They say you don't know, you can't know what God's going to do. You never know what God's going to do. Yeah, you look at the word and you can see a lot of what he's going to do. But he does throw you, oh, look at this, you know. Huh? He wants to keep you coming to me. He says, come on to me. Go over to John 7:37. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. So that you can minister to somebody that's hurting next to you. Out of his belly. But you got to have the Holy Spirit. Mm. Over in John 14. Now you see, I'm reading the word. I'm not making this up out of my own head. It's the word. This is Jesus speaking here. It's Jesus telling you this. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. The world don't see him. You see the blinders that's on the biggest part of the church, they don't see the Holy Spirit. They talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he's not welcome. He's not welcome to do what he wants to do. I was put out of a church one time because I was casting out devils. Jesus cast out devils, but it was not permitted in that church. We were asked to leave a church one time because a group of us was praying in the Holy Spirit. We was praying in the Holy Spirit. Hadn't been told we'd been invited to come in, but some others came in and they said, out! You don't want no power there. You want a form of religion and no power? What good does that do you? You might as well be. Stay home. I want the power of God manifested through me, shown through me. I want him to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. You never know who you're going to meet outside that church that needs prayer. You don't know how many people in the church need prayer. But you've got to have the Holy Spirit to depend on so you know how to pray. He can give you a word you don't know anything about them. But he'll know it. And maybe one word that makes any sense to you will just set them free. It's the power of God. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. And Jesus said, receive. Go over to 1 Corinthians. No, I'm not ready to go there yet. John 20, 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said unto them, receive ye. Now this is Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you shall remit, or they are remitted unto him. Them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Oh, who are we to forgive sins? You tell people, you must forgive yourself and you must forgive others. That you, it's not you doing the forgiving. And you can say, I forgive you for what you've done against me. Did you see that? Receive you the Holy Spirit? You receive. It's not, it's just, you receive it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn it. You just receive. Receive him. Over to Acts 1:8. Didn't pass away, you know. You say, oh, there's no such thing as Holy Spirit speaking in tongues anymore. Well, I guess I'm out of my mind then. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's Jesus speaking. To the uttermost, to the ends of the earth. It's to you. I was never a witness until I accepted the Holy Spirit. The only witness I had was I went to church all the time. What changed me is I was going into a little church. I had a Baptist minister. It was supposed to be a Pentecostal Bible believing church. And then he handed out a little thing to read the Bible through in a year. Now I've been in church. My mother carried me to church. So I'd been in church all my life. I would go to the library and I'd get me a book. Well, I didn't just get one book. I'd get three books. Take those home. My mom never had to worry about where I was. I was on the front porch on this porch swing. I was reading. I read. I read too much. I honestly did. I read too much. I'd rather read than go spend time with my friends. I was just a readaholic. I was addicted to reading. And when he gave that to me, I thought, read it through a year, I thought, I wonder if I can do that. Now, if that isn't the utmost ignorant thing, I read a book a day all the way through summer, and I was wondering if I could read this Bible through in a year. That's only 66 books. But I did. And then I did it again. And we moved, and we came to another church, and I was just going up, so I was up in front like this. And I was singing, glory, 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 glory. It just came out of me. God can do it however he wants to. He can do it with you having hands laid on you. He can do it with you not having hands laid on you. He can do it if you will have an open heart and just keep asking. Just ask and receive. Say, I choose to receive. I choose to receive all that God has for me. Get a hungry heart. Get your heart hungry. Stir yourself up. Say, I never heard anything like this before. This is God's word. Then go over. And some of you, I can say religion all over you because I never heard it before. I remember my mom told me when I got married the first time, she said, now, Neva, you don't have anything to do with in their tongues. Because I was married a man that was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, I won't. I didn't know what it was. I praise God he had mercy on me and he didn't hold me to that. And he filled me just because he loves me. And it's his love that comes in, people. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's his love and his power. And you feel peace and you feel joy. Hey, whether you feel it or not, if you say it, you invite him in, he comes in, and your life starts being changed. God is a changer. He changes lives. That's his whole purpose, to become more like him. I used to listen to country music all day long. Anybody, I won't ask you if you do. But that's what I listen to. I listen to country music. I turn my music on in the morning, and then one day I realized, I haven't listened to country music for a long time. I mean, he'll just cut things off of you. Sometimes he'll say, I want you to quit that. And you have to make an effort. But he takes the battle out of it for you. I will follow you, Lord. I will obey you. I will do what you want me to do. That's what he wants. Your will. We have our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And when you submit your will to God, then your will, your mind, your will, and your emotions, then you go God's way. When you turn it the other direction and you go your way, then you're going Satan in the flesh. Go over to Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hey, you got aches and you got pains? God's going to change all that. There's no pain. No, hey, you're going to be changed. Hey, can you imagine having a body like Jesus? I mean, he just walked through the in through the door, and he came in, and he was sat down with him. He sat down and he ate with him. Made himself at home. He said, "Flesh and blood, am I not? Because the blood been poured out for you and me. Flesh and bone, he was. But it was not held back by anything on this earth, because he had overcame through his resurrection." Go over to 1 Thessalonians 4. I know I'm going through this pretty quick, but I want you to get this. 4:16. For the Lord himself. Oh, we go back a little bit. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So the dead will be raised up. Hey, Christians shall be raised up, people. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, hey, hey, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You don't fear death. We're not supposed to fear death. We have overcome through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe his word when he comes is going to sound something like this. I probably won't be able to blow like very, very good today, but I've already been blowing.
Thank you.
So, are you ready? Are you ready? I can't answer that question for you. Are you ready? Are you on fire for God? Are you so on fire for God that you're like a match and you go someplace and you can kind of set them on fire? People are drawn to you because of the love of Jesus Christ. The people come to you, I don't know why I'm coming to you. I don't know why. I mean, it don't happen every day, but people do. They'll say, I don't know why I'm supposed to talk to you, but I don't know why. And little kids, I see little kids, and some of their eyes just, oh, wow. They just look at me, and their just eyes are a little on fire. Some of them don't like me. Some little kids don't like me. They don't like me. It goes both ways, depending on where they are spiritually, what kind of covering they have from their parents. How are you? This is the day for you to get right with the Lord. I don't know what Jason's going to play, but I invite you to come. Don't leave this place. If you're not saved, get up here. Pastor, pray, Chris, and Mark, and you, and CW, come up here. Cheryl, I want you up here, if you don't mind. You come. Come on up. Come on up. I want them to come. I want people to come be able to pray. You come and come. Just be loved. Let us love on you. Let us pray for you. God wants you to be so filled with His presence today, with His Spirit today. He loves you so much. Don't sit back there because you're so satisfied with where you're at that you leave here the way you came in. God wants to fill you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you to overflowing. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, get yourselves up here. Don't leave the way you are. If you want more fire, if you just want more, you're already baptized and you want more, come on up. There is place in Jesus. There's plenty of room. He wants you filled to overflowing. If you just want to come up and let me have you hug you, I'll just hug. Whatever you want, I'm a good hugger. Ask anybody, I'm a good hugger. Come on, maybe you just need a love. Don't leave here the way you are. Don't leave here. Come on, come on, come on.